Welcome to Sunday School. We're glad to have you all here. And you are, in fact, in the class for Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, part of our adult discipleship classes here at Grace. And let me say a prayer. We'll pray and then we'll dive into today's lesson. Heavenly Father, the psalmist says, "There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." Lord, as we start our class today, may this remind us of who you are, that you would be the center of our desire to participate in these spiritual disciplines. As we consider how we might train ourselves for godliness, for holiness, for Christlikeness, I pray that what we would want would be to want to know you, to want to worship you, and to want to bring you glory. Today, as we talk about the gift of prayer in our lives, may you shape our very desires in this way. Incline our hearts, incline our very desires to want to know you. And we thank you for this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, welcome to class. We're glad that, as I said, and hopefully maybe you gleaned from that song. Like I remember looking for songs. You know, if you see me in front of class, I'm going to have a song. We're going to do a singing. And maybe that makes some people want to avoid being in class with me. I love hearing singing. I'm all about it. But so much of that was talking about God's word and may it shape and fashion us. And so we're talking about, okay, how can we do that? My name is Jason Garner. If you haven't met me, Ben Challey is another one of the teachers here. If you don't know, he's traveling this weekend, so he's not here. And then Justin Nicolay. Justin, you raise your hand so folks can see you. We're the three teachers for this class. And a little housekeeping, I've put out a Bible scripture, written out Bible scripture, I'm sorry, typed out. You don't want me to write anything. You need to type stuff, to be clear. And so I think most of you have done this, if you already grabbed that passage and then opened to your Bible so you'll be ready to read it out loud to the rest of us when the time comes, that'll be super helpful. I'll try to spell it out and make it pretty obvious. Here's our schedule. Some folks, I like to see a schedule. I like to, okay, where have we been? Where are we going? Last week, Justin completed the part about Bible intake. So Bible intake was last week, which was reading. I'll actually highlight it here in just a moment. Today we're talking about prayer as a spiritual discipline. And in the weeks to come, here's what's coming. Silence and solitude next week, serving, stewardship, fasting, worship, journaling, and then learning will be the end. This is a 10-week study. We end October 11th. And in case you're wondering, I do like to highlight in the book, there is the spiritual discipline of evangelism. And he lays out an amazing case for evangelism as a spiritual discipline. And the way he phrased it, it was like, to me, it was like all sorts of light bulbs going off with this one. We're not overlooking it. We're not neglecting it. We have a whole class dedicated to evangelism. So that's going to be coming. So I want to draw your attention to that if you pick up the book, which is right here, available at your Amazon and beyond. I'll have a slide here in a second in case you're wanting to know about how to find the book. But of course, you're also going to know that I like to sing, and I want you to join in singing, and then I also like Pictionary. And so last time I taught, you might have remembered I had some images that were pretty miserable to look at, and so this is no different. So I didn't want to depart from my miserable artwork, to which you might go, yeah, Jason, tell me you're not trying to do this as a living. And I would say, I'm not trying to do it for a living. So I've got the two images here. Can you all tell me, I did put a pretty obvious hint on one of them. What's on the left? What can you guys guess what that is? Good, good. And what's on the right? Yay! Very good. Okay. We got to agree. Spaghetti is pretty. The syrup helps you with the waffle. Am I right? Okay. I was like, I got to put a clue. Spaghetti on the right. Can anybody guess? Or maybe does this remind anyone of another study? This came out of a totally different book study than this. But I thought the analogy was fantastic and applicable to what we're talking about today. Any guesses? Any thoughts? Does it remind anyone of a prior study that you might have taken? Well, here's the study I learned about it from. It was in the context of marriage. It was the context of men and women and how they think. I've seen a few smiles and head nods. So if you can guess, actually, I'll just tell you. Generally speaking, I don't want to guess because that's awkward. Generally speaking, the waffle are us, the men. Men tend to think waffles, meaning I've got this category, I have this thing, boom, there's my waffle. I'm going to put things in silos is another phrase, way to put it. Waffles are where we kind of organize things, whereas women tend to generally think of things Oh, we got the noodle, touching the sauce, touching the meatball, touching the protein, touching the vegetable. These things, communication-wise and thinking-wise, all interconnect in ways that are different than, for instance, I. And so this will be an opportunity at the end of prayer tonight. Today, you can pray for my wife, because this is truly one of those things where it's like, this is an aha moment for me. The reason I bring it up to this is going to be evident as we go forward. I find this to be a really helpful analogy when we're thinking about some of these disciplines, and I'll expand on that more to come. As I mentioned, we are going through the Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney. It's this book. You're starting to see, this is pretty new to me, and it's getting dog-eared. It's getting notated all over. I'm a fan of this book, as I know Justin has enjoyed it as well as Ben, as we talked about it. Fantastic book. Highly recommend it, and highly recommend you guys find out for yourself, because we're not getting to do necessarily all the material that we would want to do. This is the announcement. I mentioned this the first class we had, which is we wanted to host a night for all of you to come to our house. So I've talked to Heidi about it. We are scheduling, if you would save the date, Saturday night, September 19th. It's going to be 6 to 9 p.m., and we came up with the title, A Night of Appetizers. And I was almost tempted to call it A Night of 1,000 Appetizers. If you're old enough to remember, A Night of 1,000 Stars. I'm the old guy here. It was a cheesy TV show, so I thought A Night of 1,000 Appetizers. Who wouldn't want to come to A Night of 1,000 Appetizers? There'll be more to come. Our house is here in Brentwood, Nippers Corner area. If you're trying to figure out, okay, where do you guys live? We're in this neighborhood. I will add, there's no plan for childcare at this time. So if you have young children, that will be for you to take care of. We won't be able to take care of that for you. Okay, so put that in your schedule. We would love to see as many of you as possible come to our house. That'd be great. Okay, so quick reviews. We've got two classes in, and I may have mentioned before, I teach over at Belmont, and I'm a big fan of repetition. I'm a big fan of review, because apparently we forget things from one night of sleep to the next. Yeah, and I'm hearing Chuck, fantastic. Yes, this is me all the time. So whoever has 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, would you read that for us as a starting place for our review? Yep.
Have nothing to do with irreverent silliness, rather train yourself for godliness.
Train yourself for godliness. So we are going to frame this whole thing on spiritual disciplines around training for godliness. You guys remember Josh Kerr was an analogy I used a couple weeks back. What was the focus, and what did he do? He's an athlete. Something happened this year that he did. If you can even remotely remember the sport, if not the specifics. Yeah, broke the mile world record. It hadn't been broken for 27 years. And so he had a goal. The goal was to break the mile time. In that process, he added something to his life, added probably many things to his life, and he took away things from his life in order to achieve that goal. And so this is helping us. Athletics provide a lot of analogies for what we're talking about here. But in that case, he added salads to every meal, including breakfast. Yuck, that's right. And then he took away sea level. He went and trained at altitude. So that was an example of it. Took away something, added something. Date night emphasis. You'll see this image come out. Why did I emphasize the concept of the date night? If you guys remember that example. We talked about if you're newly married and once you're married, one of the common refrains that I hear from a number of people is, hey, you should continue to date your spouse, or to not just to go out on a date, but to date your spouse. And the idea was, okay, I'm going to go, we're going to go have a meal, that's great, I'll check off the box, right? No, the goal is the relationship. The goal is to be with that other person. The goal is to connect away from home and be connected with that person. So I want us to think about relationship. And then I have the engine here over the right. We talked about catalysts for growing Christ-like. There were three. Anybody remember any of the three? I know we've slept since we saw each other many nights. What's that? Fuel. Okay. Oh, we're going to talk about the car. Yeah, we got, okay. What makes a car? We got spark, fuel, and air. Great. Okay. So those were the three when it came to engine repair. So anybody breaks down today, we know who we can talk to. We're going to fix it, right? And in this case, I use that to tie in God uses three things based on what Donald Whitney refers to. He talks about people. He talks about circumstances. So both people in our lives, circumstances in our lives, to shape us, to make us more like Christ Jesus. These things in our lives, I think we can look back at both people in our lives that have shaped us. We can look at circumstances. And usually I will point to the hard circumstances. Forged in fire, if you'll imagine that. Those circumstances, there's a third. What's the third way, the catalyst that he describes, which is what this whole class is about? Spiritual disciplines. And then the question becomes, which of those three do we have at least a little bit of control over? People, circumstances, or these disciplines? These disciplines. So he's framed a case of, hey, you've got control over these. If you want to become Christ-like, be disciplined for godliness. The goal is godliness. And he equates godliness with Christ-likeness. He equates godliness with holiness. If we're to be conformed into Christ, these are means by which we can do that. We can become more like Christ. The goal is, in fact, godliness. And then with Justin, you are what you eat, to which I became very hungry because we talked about food briefly. We talked about movies, I think, if you'll recall. But we talked about the main world was intake. And can I just pause and say, if you get the book, you're going to see not one chapter, two chapters on Bible intake. And Justin did a phenomenal job condensing. Talk about having to take away stuff. Justin, was that the hardest thing? There's hint, helpful tool after helpful tool, rattling them all off. And to rule, bring them down to just two in the span of an hour. There's so many other intake things. But what did we talk about? We talked about you can hear the word as a means of intake. You can read it. You can study it. You can memorize. And you can meditate on it. And so I'm going to follow up and say, I've got the asterisk by meditating, because we're going to highlight a little bit about meditation on Scripture and understand what that means, because Whitney's going to build the case that this is an important step in our prayers, okay? So the two things that Justin shared as a review, we had a Bible verse, and then we emphasized different words in the same passage, meditation. I'm going to the second one of the two. When I saw that, and when he demonstrated that in class, what came to mind was acting. What came to mind for me was actors and acting, or folks that read for a living, read out loud or do a podcast. Or let's go to my world, as if you're dealing with someone that's dealing with a jingle or an advertisement. When you emphasize one word as opposed to another, it can change the meaning or it can lift the meaning. In the world of jingles, they're like, hey, I actually want you to emphasize our brand and not the adjective of the brand. And so what he was showing us is that if you read a scripture like Jesus wept, I'm going to go with the shortest one because my memory is horrible. Jesus wept. I can go, Jesus wept. Wait, Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, he wept? He wept? Why? So that pushes on that idea. Or Jesus wept. That changes the emphasis. So in that simple thing that he did is a great demonstration of how we can apply that to our own reading of the word. Second, counting the repeated words. I remember I call my table already. Last week we had our table. What was our word that we talked about that we counted the number of words in the passage that Justin gave us? What was our word? Can you remember? Bread. Yeah, I remember bread and manna. What were some of the other words, if you remember last week? What did you guys have? You had eat. Okay, what was the other one? Life and living. So that was a great exercise. And the goal behind that was to look for emphasis. Okay, if I see repetition, or if I'm all about reps. When I teach something at Belmont, I'm teaching software, two different programs at Belmont, and I'm all about the reps, just like athletes. Hey, get down and give me 20. I mean, it's the same thing, except it's on a computer program. When I see reps or repetitions of a word in a phrase, that's going to tell me this is important. I need to lean in on this and go, what are they talking about? With bread, they even mentioned manna. There was an equivalent bread. It was manna. Manna should, hopefully, if some of you are familiar with the Bible, makes you think of Exodus. Okay, wait, we're going all the way to Exodus, tying today's bread lesson, something physical I can touch, to Jesus Christ himself, to manna. Good morning. Come on in. Glad you're here. So these tools are super helpful, and there's many more to it. And then I got the biggest kick. I was like, wait a minute. I was poking around on our website. Bible intake. How many of you guys are doing? Don't worry. That's too much. Reading plans. Big fan of the reading plans. And we've got some online here. Can I tell you the number of times I have crashed and burned on the one-year reading plan? Can I just tell you, I'm being very honest. And when I discovered the 3-year reading plan, I was like, this is my thing. This could help me tremendously. The 3-year plan, I'm a big fan. If you'll go here too, you can see where you can create your own plan. The YouVersion Bible app, if you guys are familiar with that, that's the one where I found a 3-year reading plan and was so very happy, because that is more my pace for 1-year reading plan. It takes a while. But we want to emphasize Bible intake is important. Make sure you make a plan. I'll highlight that here in a minute towards the end. Let me go back to my slides here. There we are. Okay. So reading plans. Okay. Table question. Introduce yourselves to your table, and I would like you to talk amongst yourselves. We're going to make a list in between spaghetti and waffle up here. What are the most common things that you pray about on your own? Most common thing. What if you're having a problem, I have a moment to pray. This is what I'm praying about. Go. All right, folks. Let's hear from your tables. Let's hear back table here. Give me one of the things that came up out of your conversation. One broad subject. Okay, good. Good. Somebody else. Another table. How about back here? Good. Okay, this table here. Humble. Hearts. Aren't you glad I typed out the Bible verses? Okay, how about y'all? Circumstances. For real. Events. Life right now. How about y'all? And those could be here too, right? They could be family relationships or friends, right? Good. How about y'all? Maybe they've already covered the ones. Wisdom in circumstances. Wisdom in my current situation or relationships. Like it could all tie into those things, right? Good. How about the table back here? What? You jumped ahead. You jumped ahead. That's fantastic. What'd you get? Tell me. Praying for a spouse. Okay. Good. For a spouse. Okay. Great. Okay. As my kids like to say, we're going to put a pin in that and we're going to come back to it. Okay. So keep this in mind, because this part of what I've been just so encouraged by from this book is like, he puts things really well that I think is going to help you and helps me. Today's class, prayer. We're going to hit the bullet points. Prayer is expected. It's learned. It's answered. Prayer as demonstrated in scripture. Hint, hint. If you've got a Bible verse, be ready. George Mueller. And I, that was the one slide I didn't correct his name. I'm looking at it right. You ever have that moment? The E before the L doesn't happen. I got rid of it elsewhere. Applying scripture to our prayers, a couple of analogies that I landed on that I think will be helpful. And then, yeah, we're going to demonstrate and practice. We're going to cover Psalms, epistles, and narratives. So there will be a time to, I'm going to guide you through some prayer. And I'm going to give you a little bit of moment at your tables to pray by yourselves, because where we're headed is applying scripture to prayer. We're going to apply scripture to our prayers. And the analogy from what Whitney provides is pretty phenomenal. Let's see if this will click through. There we go. Okay, prayer is expected. If you've got any of these verses, go ahead and get them ready. I want to hear Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. If you've got that one, go ahead and read. And be ready with the other verses on the screen. Who has the Matthew passage and could read it? Great. Go for it. Okay. So a great deal of instruction specifically on prayer. And it does allow me to bring up one more detail that I didn't at the beginning. Very first class we talked about, the spiritual disciplines as defined by the author are those that are defined in scripture. Okay, so the reason we're going to talk about prayer is like, hey, why are we doing, why is prayer a thing? Because it didn't say, hey, if you should shoot, no, when you pray, it's assumed you're going to pray. Okay, so when you pray, do these things. Great, thank you. Who's got the Luke passage, if you'd read that? That's great, great. So who's the recipient of the prayer? Comparing him to the unjust judge, we have a heavenly Father who loves us, who is waiting. We're going to unpack that some more in some future discussion here. Colossians 4:2, who's got that one? Continue steadfast, continue in prayer. Great, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Ooh, that's a short. It's like Jesus wept. Pray continually. Absolutely. Yeah. Pray continually. And then this one I'll explain. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Who's got the Ephesians? Did I pass that one out? Maybe I didn't. Okay, good. Sorry. That's right. Great. Thank you. So the first four kind of are encapsulated by our dating image here. The command is to pray is of love. And as Whitney, the author, says, in his love, he desires to communicate with us and to bless us. So he desires this. He desires for his children to communicate to him as their heavenly father. The next one, the image on the right, what do we have here? Somebody just tell me out loud. Yeah, it's a battle. And in particular, what is this guy doing? Okay, there's the wartime walkie-talkie. It's an image that, if you're familiar with John Piper, has brought this up. John Piper describes prayer as a wartime walkie-talkie. Let me tell you what he says. Prayer is a walkie-talkie for warfare, not a domestic intercom for increasing our conveniences. So Whitney goes on further to say, to abandon prayer is to fight the battle with our own resources at best and to lose interest in the battle at worst. So if we understand we're not home. This world is not our home. Okay, so being reminded of that, particularly with the Ephesians 6 passage there. Okay, so prayer is expected. Continuing, why do we not pray as we should? This is the class on spiritual disciplines. It's a lack of discipline, meaning we don't necessarily plan for it. I know for myself, when do I pray? When I'm in great, great need. Because of those catalysts. We talk about the catalysts of circumstances or people. Either one of those two can drive me to prayer rather than saying, you know what? I'm going to plan to pray. I'm going to build into my day prayer. In fact, I'm excited about the stewardship part of this class. Stewardship, we tend to think about what when we talk about stewardship? Money, 100%. What's the other thing that we actually all have the same amount of that we also need to steward? Our time. And so we'll be talking about that as well. Planning out our time. This is a big one. We sometimes doubt anything will happen. In our daily lives, I think Josh Hussong has mentioned this before. In our daily lives, we go and do something. We do an activity. And there usually is some sort of result. Sometimes in prayer, that immediacy isn't there. This is a different thing. And I want to add the word because I put it in my notes here. This is where we do have to say prayer is mysterious. It is. There's mystery to this. And so let me add to this what Don Whitney shares. The Bible never promises anything will happen. Since prayer involves communication in the spiritual realm, many prayers are answered in ways that cannot be seen in the material world. It's answered in ways different from what we ask. We do not always see tangible evidence of our prayers. And this tempts us to doubt the power of God through prayer. This is all of us. We are emotional beings. The frailty of our emotions frequently erodes our desire to pray. So if you've had a season of prayer and the outcome was not what you had prayed for or what you had hoped for, you're in good company. And this is where I tread carefully as we move forward in this, because there is mystery. And we don't know the ways of God. But as we look at this relational aspect, if we keep revisiting godliness and the opportunity to be with God and to be in his presence and to have that relationship grow, we see evidence and a reason to talk about the spiritual discipline of prayer. And of course, that leads to spaghetti. Prayer is learned. Prayer is learned by a couple of methods. One, by praying. I couldn't find the citation. I know it was probably from a music instructional thing, because I'm all about that. I do deep dives on YouTube all the time. And someone literally said, you can't YouTube your way to becoming a better piano player. Because he was saying, you need to, eventually you can watch the lessons all you want. You need to sit down and play piano. You've got to get through it. And so in the same way, be encouraged. If this idea of praying and the way we're talking about, Do not be overcritical of yourself. We pray, and when we pray, we're actually learning to pray. Okay? The other is by meditating on scripture. I told you one of the big aha things was to me was this concept of meditation. And we're going to hear from George Mueller in a moment, some quotes from him. But this is where the spaghetti is a thing. Okay? I will confess my temptation to be the waffle guy. I'm the waffle guy, meaning I put things in categories. Thank the Lord. I've told you about my 3-year reading plan, so I'm super slow, but I'll read. And then I set the Bible aside. And now I'm moving over to the prayer category of what I'm going to do. And then, you know what I'm saying? I separate these things. And from reading about this and learning about this, I'm convicted of this spaghetti. I'm going to do hand motions. You're going to think, what is he talking about? I'm talking about noodles touching the sauce and the meatballs. I'm saying that I'm going to read the Bible, and then I'm going to think about it. Meditation is not people, if you do yoga, that's great. But I'm not thinking about the yoga thing. I'm thinking about, okay, what does that word mean? What is God trying to say? What are the repeated words? He mentioned bread an awful lot in this passage. Why is he pushing on bread so much? Okay, I've heard about Pharisees. Wait, what is a Pharisee? Where did that be? It should start pushing in on how we're thinking. And then we're led to pray. And we pray in the meditation. We're going to do that towards the end of class. But we're thinking about the scripture. We're thinking about these things in light of scripture. We're meditating on who God is in the scripture. And we're applying that to our prayers themselves. We learn by praying with others. I know I've been benefited by hearing other people pray, even in this congregation, goodness, hearing Scott pray, hearing our other elders pray. I am fed and I learn to pray, and there's ways that they will pray where I'm like, I haven't thought of that. There's common books of prayer. There's different prayer books that we can learn about, including by reading about prayer, other people's prayers, different resources when it comes to that. So, and I skipped over, I'm glad I'm looking at my notes. Whitney will say that meditation is the missing link between our Bible intake and prayer. So if I go back to the spaghetti thing and I'm thinking about, hey, what does this really look like? As we'll demonstrate, I'm going to read a passage, and then I'm actually going to think about that passage, and then I'm going to pray. And then at the same time, I'm not losing sight of the things I want to pray for. But there, again, I'm going to share some other stuff here in a moment that will hopefully help. Prayer is answered. I alluded to this a minute ago. This is where things are mysterious. And we lay this at the foot of the cross and say, this is mysterious. God does answer our prayer. Oh, you who hear prayer, says the psalmist from Psalm 65. Perhaps God is indeed answered, but not in an obvious way. So when we pray over needs, when we pray over loved ones, it may not be in an obvious way. He does not lead us to pray in order to frustrate us by slamming heaven's door in our face. Ultimately, though, this appeal to discipline ourselves to pray is for what purpose? For the purpose of godliness. So again, come back to that relational aspect. Come back to what I'll frame up in a moment, which is a conversation. It's us sitting down with the Lord and hearing from him, and then us responding to the Lord through prayer, as we'll get to in just a moment. All right, name that person. That's George Mueller. Okay. If you don't know much about George Mueller, I want to talk about him now. What is he best known for? He cared for over 10,000 orphans across 5 large orphan houses in Bristol, England, operating his faith-based ministry for over 60 years. Here's the thing that catches most of our attention, without ever asking directly for money. Okay. If you're trying to figure out where to put him in like history or timelines, here's a contemporary that we know, Charles Dickens, the Charles Dickens. In fact, there's notes, and I should have quoted or found the citation here, where he actually visited one of George Mueller's orphanages. Okay, so the detail comes to prayer. This is a pretty phenomenal story if you're not aware of it, but he felt led to create an orphanage. I'm going to share one. There's so many. If you ever want to look online, he's got all his journals published, literally like him writing out when and how he did things. I'm going to just share one for sake of time. But he writes this down in December 2nd, 1839. And I'll try to unpack it as we go. The language is a little old, and I'm going to have to translate some monetary things. Since the last money has been given out for housekeeping, only £1.12 has come in. Okay. So to be clear, £1, you may know this, I didn't know it, 1 pound is about 20 shillings. Okay, so 1 pound, and then I've got 12 shillings. But as 1 pound, 10 shillings of this had been given for the rents, I only had 2 shillings in hand. When Brother B, he refers to Brother B all the time, I don't know who that is, Brother B, the master of the boys' orphan house, came this morning and told me that the need of today would be at least 2 pounds. Okay, do the math. 2 pounds is how many shillings? 40. Good job. I should have had you in math class. 40 shillings. So all we have right now, I had only 2 shillings. I need 40. I gave him the 2 shillings which I had and proposed that we should pray together for more means. The day of, folks. The day of. While we were in prayer, a brother called. After prayer, Brother B left me, and the brother who had come gave me 5 pounds. Okay. As soon as he had left, I went joyfully with the money to the orphan houses to prevent the bakers being sent away. What do you mean? The bakers brought the bread, thinking about our table. They brought bread. They're ready to feed the orphans, but we need our money. So this was like in the moment. He was able to pay the bakers before they were sent away. This evening, I received still further 2 pounds. Thus, the Lord has richly supplied our need for today and tomorrow. So, I didn't have it on the screen. You're horrible. I can't believe that. So sorry. Narratives of George Mueller, part 2. Sorry about that. You actually had to listen to me, and I couldn't let you read. Sorry about that. Let's talk about the specific in scriptures. So working backwards, he has this orphanage. He's come to depend wholly on the Lord day after day for financial needs being met. Before this, he's led by scripture. He's reading the scripture. Matthew 6:33. I'll read this one. The other two scriptures I think I've passed out to you all. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added to you. Many of you know that one. That was a driving scripture for him. Who has the John 14:13-14 passage? Go for it. Okay, and then who has Psalm 68, verse 5? Okay, so he's already thinking, that of course informed his thought on the orphan, particularly in London in this time period, a big deal. And he had a breakthrough in 1841. Now back to our spaghetti. I keep coming back to spaghetti, right? Before this time, my practice had been to give myself to prayer after having dressed in the morning. So I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pray first. Now I thought the most important thing was to give myself to the reading of God's word and to the meditation on it, that thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, and instructed. And that thus, by means of the word of God, whilst, fancy word, meditating on it, my heart might be brought into experimental communion with the Lord. Experimental. That's not a misprint. In that time period, Don Whitney has a citation that would explain he met, in our language, it would be experiential. He experienced communion with the Lord. He's combining. Now he's thinking of, I want to be in the Word first. And the Word first is going to start shaping my thinking and my meditation and my prayer. And so let's summarize, because I can get lost in some of these things. And it's important to highlight. George Mueller's life and aim was informed by scripture and prayer. So if we go back to the beginning, he didn't start with a heart for the orphan. He didn't. He didn't start as a child going, I would want to have an orphanage and take care. That was not his driving thing. And we can lose that if we don't trail back to what he started. His aim was to bring God glory, because it was informed by scripture and prayer. Scripture and prayer first began to make its way into his life. And from that, his goal was to bring God's glory. And through scripture and meditation, he designed to bring God glory through the means of an orphanage as a display of God's might and glory. I encourage you to read it more about George Mueller, because you see how his goal, again, the orphanage is an amazing thing. We can all agree that was not the aim. The more you unpack, you realize his goal was to bring God's glory. And he landed on a visible representation in time and space that would be so challenging to both the believers that were challenged by whether or not God would be able to provide for them if they took more time to be with the Lord, as well as the non-believer. It's challenging us to us as believers if you read through the passages of Mueller. So let's talk more. Challenges to prayer. Boredom. Don Whitney calls it out. And I was like, can we say that? Can we say that? And the reality is, it's hard to pray sometimes, folks. And he's going to highlight a reason. Boredom can happen. Distractions. This is the quote. You can, if you want to write anything down, this is a helpful quote because he's a teacher. I love this so much because it's very easy to say. He says, what's challenging is that we are praying the same old things about the same old things. Don Whitney will use that quote over and again, and I land on that all the time. So from our opening question today, we talked about the most common things we prayed about. We said protection, family, humble hearts, circumstances, relationships, wisdom, spouse. Okay, so now we're going to transition into what he's going to describe as some of the ways that we generally pray about. He says, yeah, we're praying the same old things about the same old things. What are the same old things? Well, he breaks them into six categories. Family, future, finances, work or schoolwork, church ministry or Christian concerns, or the current crisis in your life. And he would actually frame up that just about every 6 months, there's going to be some kind of crisis. Maybe it's bigger in some situations than others, but he's going to frame that there's going to be some kind of demanding, driving crisis in your life. And so here's the other part of this is normal. This is the human experience. It really is, isn't it? How many of it can look of us can look at this list and go, oh yeah, actually I'm worried about finances right now. Or I am thinking about the future. Who doesn't think about the future? All these things are common to our experience. And what he's saying, that's not the thing that should bother. That is not to be worried about. You don't need to find new things to pray about because these are our human experience in life. He says again, the same old things about the same old things. This is where we're going to change. Lighting. I was telling my buddy, dear friend of mine, he spent about 10 years in video and film work. And I said to him, hey, I'm thinking about lighting in terms of Sunday school I'm teaching. What can you tell me about? Well, tell me about lighting if you were on set, because he would do production shoots, meaning you'd go out and you've got a subject and you're going to light it up and then video film it. I said, tell me about lighting. And y'all, there was this total like quiet. And then I interrupted and said, I've asked you way too much, right? This is too big a question to answer, isn't it? And he said, yeah, I don't want to start. Here's the thing. So he gave me, I said, give me some takeaways. He said, well, okay. So if you've got an object out and you're trying to video it, you light it from the front. Do you have multiple lights on the front? Do you light it from the back? What kind of light do you shine on it? Think about how many of you have issues where you go, oh, I did not get a soft light bulb and I actually got the wrong light bulb. And now it looks weird, right? Lighting is a thing. And then here's another one. How many of you have been at like a outdoor event or something or a campfire? And you did the old flashlight under your chin. Yes, right? This is where you tell the scary story, right? He said, literally, before I even got to that, he said, hey, if you've got an object that you want to paint in an unflattering way, you shine from above or from below. So where the light hits you, how many lights hit you, as well as the type of light can shade how the subject looks and what you reveal about the subject. The subject hasn't changed, right? But how you lit that actual object or that subject is all changed based on the light. Hold that thought. The other one is conversation analogy. What should typically happen in a conversation? You're sitting down and you're talking to another person. What is the normal practice in a conversation, a good conversation? Ask questions. Both people talk. We're taking turns. You're going to talk to me. It's going to remind me of something. I'm going to think of something. Oh, you know what this reminds me of? And then that other person's going to say something. Now, that's not a, forgive me, they're both analogies, right? They both break down at some point. But both lighting and conversation are what we are going to be talking about here with Scripture. Somebody finish this quote. Anybody might be able to finish this quote. Scott said it many times. God still speaks through what he has spoken. Some of you have heard that phrase, some of you have. We're going to use Scripture as part of this discussion here. I'm going to do a couple of reps. We're going to have a demonstration. And just in case you're wondering, you go look at Don Whitney on YouTube. you're going to be like, Jason didn't do anything original. And I'll say, yes, I didn't do anything original because he does such a great job. I'm going to try to imitate kind of what he does when he demonstrates some of these things. And if you've got a strong prayer life and you have a process or a system that is working, that's fantastic. Don't put anything on it from what I'm saying. However, for me, this has been incredibly helpful because where we're headed is each of these scripture, if I change the scripture, I am changing the light that I'm shining on the same subject. Instead of saying the same old things about the same old things, I'm now going to say something different that's going to shine a light differently on that same old subject. So let's try that now. We've got three. We'll see if we can get through all three. The Psalms, the Epistles, and the Narratives, those are kind of the three types of scripture that we might find in the Bible. And so we're going to do a couple. We're going to start with one of our favorites, right? The Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. Many of you know. Go ahead and open to it now. And how this is going to work, I'm going to do a couple of lines. I'm going to literally pray out loud and actually say how I'm thinking about praying out loud. Again, spaghetti in mind. Prayer. Scripture. I might say something meditatively about the scripture itself, and then I'm going to pray. And then like in anything else, there's going to be a point that Donald Whitney shares. It's like, okay, I think I'm done with that line. Oh, I'm going to go back to hear what God says on the next line. This is that conversation. I'm going to respond to his word, and then I'm going to go to the next line. Okay? So it's going to seem a little odd. I'll say it out loud, but hopefully this will be instructive. And then I'm going to pause, and I'd like you to either go back to the beginning of the 23rd Psalm and do it yourself for a moment, or continue on that passage. Okay. If I were praying the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, I am looking at the word shepherd, and I know that a shepherd is over me. I want to thank you for being my shepherd. I want to thank you as I look at what I have in my life and realize this is because you have guided me. You are my shepherd. Lord, I also am challenged by the word shepherd because that means I'm under you. And I confess I am full of myself. I am arrogant, and I'm reminded of I don't want to be told what to do. Lord, help me repent of that. Help me come under you being my shepherd, Lord. And Lord, it also reminds me to think of my kids. Lord, they're not at my house now. They've grown. They are outside of my home, but you see everything they're doing. You can look over them. Lord, I pray that even now you would see them and you would watch over them, Lord. And then I pray for both sides of this coin for them, that if they are headstrong as I am, bless their hearts, if they are headstrong as I am, Lord, would they repent and desire to be under your shepherding? And then equally, Lord, if they are stressed, if they are feeling like they are out and beyond your reach, Lord, may they be reminded that you are the great shepherd and you can find them anywhere and you can bring them back in and that you are looking over them, Lord. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Lord, thank you. This reminds me, green pastures. You make me lie down. Man, that'd be great to get rest, Lord. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I pray for rest. Lord, green pastures, green. You said green and not brown. When the ground is brown, there's nothing to feed on. Green pastures, you provide for me. You provide for your sheep. I'm your child. I'm your sheep as you are my shepherd. Lord, thank you for providing a green pastures. I want to pause, and I'd like you to either continue or go back to the beginning and do similar prayer, but exercise. This is a repetition. This is an opportunity for you to take a moment, read, meditate, and then pray. Read, meditate, pray. And then I'll go to the next one in just a moment. Just pray to ourselves quietly. Okay, let's take a break. I'm scanning down. It's like, oh man, I will fear no evil. I fear evil. I fear evil all the time. Let's try this time. I'd like to move to an epistle. And I thought it would be helpful to stay in the epistle that we've been doing with Scott, which is Galatians 5. And so we're going to go back to the passage we did last week. I'll read a little bit. And Whitney will say time and time and again, Psalms are fantastic. And I'm, in fact, encourage you to say, as we move through these different things, the epistles, as well as the narratives, the Psalms are a great go-to. If some of these we'll find might be more difficult than others to pray through, But I want to give you the opportunity to think about how you could approach those in your own prayer time. But at the same time, Psalms are great. Psalms are like, go back to that every single time. Do your reading, jump to the Psalms. Do your reading, go to the Psalms. Okay, so I'm going to start praying in chapter 5, verse 16. I'll just do a little bit, and then I'll pause and have you guys continue. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And Lord, I pause. I'm reminded the Spirit is dwelling in me if I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And yet it's at war with my flesh. Lord, I literally can think back to this past week. I can think of a conversation. I can think of people that irritated me, Lord, for no good reason. My reasons were self-centered, Lord. I know that this is the case. Lord, will you put the Spirit greater work in me? Will you help the Spirit help control my tongue? Will you allow the Spirit to help control my thinking? Lord, I look at my circumstances currently. I think about work and all that that entails. Lord, I desire to be a light in work. And then I read this and I go, there's war within me, Lord. I need the Spirit so I can be a good employee where I work. I want to be a good employee. I want to be a good representation of you in the workplace. And then I read this and I see the war. So I confess it. And Lord, I ask for more of your Spirit in my life. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Lord, this list. My eyes land on a couple of these words. Envy, jealousy. Lord, I'm battling these things. Help me as I desire to not have these things. You're surfacing these actual sins in my life as I read these. Now, you take a moment, and then we will wrap up. Okay, I need to honor the time. I would normally, I had planned to get to Genesis 22, but let me just give you a highlight. Genesis is a narrative. There's many narratives in the Bible, and if your reading plan has you in the narratives and you're thinking, how do I pray through them? They're different than the line by line. It's different, and the approach, generally speaking, is to look at the theme. I was going to have us do Genesis 22. That's where Abraham sacrifices Isaac. You read the whole passage. You read the whole chapter or a chunk of the passage and go, in the case of Genesis 22, you're thinking, I'm thinking, this is hard. I cannot imagine the child of promise brought to Abraham and now in Sarah's old age, and you're telling him to sacrifice his one, that child that was the child of promise. How are you going to make these other things happen? The descendants as many as the stars of the sky, the sands of the sea. How are you going to make this happen? And dwelling on that and then leading that to prayer. So that, in the case that I bring that up, is with narratives, you'll look for the theme, the broader theme. And so don't feel as though, okay, we're supposed to go line by line. The Psalms lend themselves really well to going line by line as we did. The epistles also. The narratives, you would be looking for an overall shape and structure. So from that, I would just want to remind us of that. Okay, now what? I'm going to let you guys go. In your desire to pursue holy, godliness and holiness, pray for greater relationship with God through His Word. We got the little dating exam. We got the walkie-talkie, wartime walkie-talkie, right? And we got spaghetti. Now we're hungry. Number two, make a plan for your Bible intake if you haven't already. I can't tell you what it's a blessing it's been to me, what a benefit to me being in the Word daily. And I just encourage you. And if you're discouraged, or if you're like me, you tried the 1-year plan and it required like 3 chapters in a day and there's no way you can get through 3 chapters. Absolutely. This is where those longer plans are helpful. But make a plan. Make a plan to do that. And then last, can I encourage you to pray with this week using Scripture? So literally like we just did. If you are doing Bible intake, pause, meditate, think. Use some of the tools that Justin brought up last week, the repeated words, or emphasizing a different word. And in fact, something else Donald Whitney will say is, read big, meditate small. You can take away from that is, I'm going to read this huge thing, but I'm going to find that one small part. That was true. I don't know what's going on there. We've read passages where, okay, I kind of got the general sense. This one's kind of, I'm challenged by it. Don't go past it. Stick there and stay there and then meditate and then bring it to the Lord. And then, as I said, allow it to be a light on the same things that we're always praying out. Let it to be the same. We're praying the same old things. No, we're going to pray Scripture over the same old things. We're going to pray the Bible over the same old things. And in doing that, we're going to illuminate those same things that we're all part of our human nature or the world of being a human. It's going to illuminate something differently for all of us. Okay. So of the two things, let it flow directly from your Bible reading, or as I mentioned a moment ago, finish your reading. If you're in, let's say you're in Genesis and you're like, I feel more comfortable, jump to a psalm. Jump to the Psalms and pray a psalm, and then let that guide your praying. But the goal is to allow the Word to illuminate the same old things differently. Today we did expected, learned, and answered. Prayer is demonstrated in Scripture. We talked about George Mueller, spelled correctly now. Applying Scripture to our prayers. I gave you those two analogies, conversation and lighting. And then we did a demonstration. We didn't make it through the narratives. But next week we'll do silence and solitude. So we'll come in, we'll all play quiet as a mouse the whole time, and we'll see who can win. And then make a note, save the date for coming to our house on the 19th. Okay. If we could stand, I want to stand with a prayer that most of us know that would be a great way to send you out to worship. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.